What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
It is B&E on this Tuesday. Rain continues to come down in Austin, Texas. A slick morning. Be careful out there as the wet May has turned into a wet June. June 1st, a lot going on. Big conversations. The unofficial start of summer is here. Hope you enjoyed your extended weekend as we get you going on this Tuesday. Coming up, we'll talk to one of our favorites, the King of Ping, Dustin McComas, OrangeBloods.com, breaking down the field of 64. Longhorns are the 2 seed. There are 3 top 8 seeds out of the Big 12. Arkansas, the number 1 seed in the college baseball tournament, Buck, and it's that time of year. It's the regular season, the Big 12 tournament in the books, and it's about the road to Omaha begins Friday for the Longhorns and all the teams around the country, and the opportunity is out there for the Longhorns, who are the number 2 overall seed of the field of 64.
Yeah, that's great to be number 2. How about that?
Yeah, it's quite. I mean, you've put yourself in a position where you don't have to play another road game until Omaha.
And you get to play Southern.
And you get to play Southern. And so right. You get an advantageous first game that you have to take advantage of, obviously. And a bracket that features, you know, Arizona State, who's a historically really good program out of the Pac-12. They've won 5 national championships as a program. That'll be fun. And then we'll ask Dustin about this. I think the last time we talked to Dustin, I asked him about Fairfield, because Fairfield, when I was looking at the RPI ratings, and Longhorns were 2, and they're right behind them was Fairfield at number 3. Yet, they've played 40 games. They've only lost 3 ball games all year. But, how good are they out of the conference, out of the state of Connecticut? They'll be the 3 seed coming here. So we'll talk to Dustin, get some breakdown of these teams that are coming to Austin. And obviously, if the Longhorns were able to get through this weekend, they're in line with the Gainesville regional. So a super regional here in Austin, if the Longhorns can get through, would be potentially against the Florida Gators out of the Southeastern Conference, nice. Which would be a lot of fun. And I know if you've seen Florida, that SEC is loaded.
Oh, yeah.
And Florida, a really good ball club. So that's how that lines up. And obviously, beyond the super regional would be Omaha and the College World Series. So talk to DMAC about that here coming up. Also taking the good, the bad, and the ugly from the busy weekend, including Buck's trip to fish camp, where you said it was you slept 14 hours one night.
14 hours. I did. After I got sunburned, after I laid on the front of the porch there and listened to, when I go down there, those guys are playing mostly country music. I listened to the Chicks. I never really got a chance to listen to much of when they were the Dixie
Formerly
Chicks.
Formerly known as the Dixie Chicks?
Yeah. Man, they got good sound.
They are very
They're
well.
They're really, really talented.
Yeah, that's true.
And then I fell asleep on the porch. And
listening to the Chicks?
Listened to the Chicks, and then all of a sudden I woke up and I was like, oh my, my thighs, my stomach, my nose is all burned up here, my arms, my bottom, the top of my feet were all burned up. And then after that, went fishing, I came back, had a little dinner. Those guys can cook. We do cook nice meals down here. It's good to, have some ceviche and stuff like
Ooh.
That, spaghetti. And then I just said, I'm going to go relax. You guys do what you do best. And that's slam them. God, just slamming them 24/7 there.
Slamming the Bud Lights, man. Come on, man.
And I went to bed, and I don't get a chance. I don't get a chance to sleep like that. Even during the weekends, I generally wake up at like 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock is about the latest I sleep. My wife says, stay in bed. I'm like, what do you got for? You got something for me in there or something to keep me in this bed? If you don't, I'm getting up. I got to go. And so I slept. It was like 9:15, 9:30 when I got to bed. I mean, got up out of bed. I was gone.
Sunburned
and the air conditioned as low as it gets.
Oh, so it was cold.
It was so cold, man. And listening to the ocean.
You hear this guy? Ceviche and the Chicks. Did you guys paint your toenails and fingernails too?
No, it's not like that. It's not like
a little
that.
Bubbly.
Well, they fixed up their fish camp because it had gotten blown over by the last hurricane down there. They actually have a shower, like a shower, a toilet that you don't have to step up 8 steps to sit on top of it. It was really nice. It was relaxing.
That sounds like it. 14 hours. That's what you need. Get away.
And you know what? We haven't been out. We haven't gone.
I know.
Where else have you gone anywhere? And that's why I said the drinking thing started to enter in my mind, because haven't been many places. I'm out with them. Every time you touch a cooler, it's got some different color, and it's alcohol. And you're like, and they're, you know, they're, it's not just that. No, I mean, you know, you're bringing Tito's down here. They're bringing whatever, the Bullet and all that other stuff down there. They don't play around.
The bourbon. Come on, man.
I'm telling you, it's no joke down there.
That's awesome.
It started to enter my mind. I'm thinking I'm down here, and then very seldom when I go down there do I think like that. But I had some real stinking thinking going on at fish camp, and I don't think the guys realized that it was best for me not to hang out in the evenings till whatever time it was best for me to go to bed, because my stinking thinking could have led me to a place that I never want to get to again. And that's why I said, if you have an addiction, you have to be thinking about that all the time, because it's been forever since I thought about something like that. It really has. It's been a long, long time. And generally that happens when I'm in the state of Pennsylvania, where all my buddies, that's what they do for a living, is slam them. But, you know, when I'm there, I just had never thought about that. But think about where we've been over the last year and 15 months. We haven't been anywhere like that for 4 or 5 days at a time.
Yeah.
With people. So I'm glad my stinking thinking didn't lead me to a bad place. And for those that suffer from it, from addiction, don't ever think that you can let your guard down. And especially now, and especially what we're coming out of, you know, there's been an abundance of people that have had problems with alcoholism, where they have, you know, abused their families, abused their women have abused men have abused women. They've done it to kids. It's out there. It really has. We've been stuck at a place that we've never been in our lifetimes. And when you get out there and it's where it's fun and everything, and everybody's loose as a goose, if you're an alcoholic or you have an addiction, you can't be loose as a goose. You may want to, but you can't go there. You just can't go there. And that came into my mind, and it was better for me to sleep and get some rest than to just really kind of hang out. I don't think the guys understood that, but I mean, I felt it. And actually, I felt upset at myself when I got back.
Just for thinking it?
Just for thinking it.
I got a text from a good buddy of mine who's 22 and a half years sober, who says, tell Buck thanks. Good to see other long-term sobriety deal with it,
yeah,
too.
And people ask me a lot of questions. They ask me if I go to meetings. I don't go to meetings. When I got sober, I went to two meetings. And at the meetings, I'll never say this. I'll never say that you should not go to a meeting. That was my thing. My things were I didn't go to meetings because everybody at the meetings I went to quit drinking and start smoking. And I was like, I don't need this either. You know, I could die from that too. I don't know which is worse, but meetings never work for me. And if they work for you, you should go as much as you can go. They just never work for me. I just quit. And I've never had a relapse. Not one time have I ever had a drink the day I quit drinking. And that's the power of God. That's not the power of me. That's the power of God. And that's the power of people that are around me, that you can do that and not have a relapse. But it was in my mind this weekend, believe me, it was right there. It was right on the edge. How do I get away with this? When you start thinking about how you can get away with something, how can I get away with this? And nobody, you know,
you're out in the middle of nowhere. No one's going to know, right?
So if I put it in a cup and I put some ice over the top, will they know? Well, yeah. I mean, that was like, wow.
Hey, strong message for sure, and I appreciate you sharing that. Hey, let's get to your headlines, trending topics, and we'll talk the Field of 64 with Dustin McComas, the King of Ping. But first, the things you need to know as you get up and out on your Tuesday. Top Gun, Lawn Equipment Rentals bringing you the news. Mentioned Field of 64 revealed yesterday. Longhorns the number 2 overall seed. They'll host Southern on Friday in the first game of the NCAA tournament. Also coming to Austin, Arizona State is the 2 seed, and Fairfield as the 3. As we mentioned, Texas, one of 3 Big 12 teams in the top 8. TCU is the 6th seed. They won the Big 12 Conference tournament on Sunday. They beat Oklahoma State. Well, they're going to host the Fort Worth Regional. That will include Oregon State, Dallas Baptist, and McNeese State. Texas Tech got in as an 8th seed as well. They're going to host UCLA, North Carolina, and Army. The Black Knights of the Hudson coming to Lubbock over the weekend. So 3 Big 12 teams in the top 8. We'll talk to Dustin McComas about all of that. Arkansas, of course, the number 1 overall seed in the tournament. Major League Baseball yesterday, Memorial Day. Astros took the first of 4 from the Red Sox, 11-2 at Minute Maid Park. Kyle Tucker, 3 hits, drove in 4. Rangers took Memorial Day off. They're going to open a series in Colorado tonight. Round Rock topped Salt Lake yesterday, 8-6. E-Train will wrap up that 12-game road trip tonight in Utah, and then they'll be back home to open up their second homestand of the season on Thursday night, hosting El Paso at Dell Diamond. If you missed it over the weekend, Sunday, Austin FC snuck into Seattle, escaped with a point thanks to a 0-0 draw against the point leaders of the MLS. Sounders entered that game with 17 points, which is league high through seven matches, but a gritty effort by the Verde and Black earned the Austin FC its first point since their win over Minnesota back on May 1. NBA playoffs pair of games yesterday. Wizards, Washington beat Philadelphia 122-114 to avoid a sweep in that series. Sixers still lead at 3-1. Also last night, top-seeded Utah took down Memphis again after dropping game one. The Jazz have won three in a row. They're up 3-1 in that series. Tonight, it's another triple header of the NBA playoffs. Boston and Brooklyn, Nets up 3-1. Portland is at Denver. That series knotted at 2-2. And the Lakers in Phoenix to face the Suns. That series also 2-2. And Lakers are likely to go without Anthony Davis tonight. He suffered a groin strain in game four, listed as questionable for tonight.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment.
Come to Top Gun and buy or rent the equipment you need for your construction and lawn projects, and you could win a bottle of 1942 Don Julio tequila or Blanton's whiskey.
TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
They certainly will. And got a text that says, 33 years now, Buck. Often wonder what would happen if I tried one, then slap myself and say, wake up, dolt.
Yeah.
Can't think that way.
No, you can't have one. Can't have any. Just go on. You were doing well, doing good, but nah. But there are some people, once again, there are some people who know how to do that, and that's good for them. That's great for them. They can be social like that. I can't have one. I need 42. Sorry. One doesn't work.
Hey, let's go to your Vaquero's Cafe and Cantina hotline. He is the king of ping. College baseball expert for sure. From orangebloods.com, our buddy Dustin McComas. Dustin, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. We got a college baseball World Series bracket. We got regionals at the dish this weekend. It's an exciting time around here.
Certainly so. And first time the Texas Longhorns have been a top eight seed in a decade. And a high ceiling for this team, Justin. I mean, were you surprised by anything you saw yesterday as far as the top eight or the field itself?
No real huge surprises. I was really bummed that Pittsburgh didn't get in. I mean, at one point they were included as a possible host and to not get in. You kind of look at the record versus RPI top 50. I just think they had a much better case than Alabama. But no real big surprises. I thought Texas would actually be the number three overall seed. They ended up being the number two overall national seed. But if you kind of look around at who's hosting, maybe Texas Tech a little bit of a surprise as a number eight overall national seed. I think that you can make a case that some of the teams behind them might have had a little bit of a better resume, but they were no doubt going to host. So not a lot of big surprises. I think generally the committee really relied on RPI a little bit too much, but I think overall they did a pretty good job.
Dustin McComas with us. All right, so they're the two seed. Tell you know, Southern's a pretty good draw for Texas here because they're an under 500 team. They won the SWAC tournament to get here, 20-28, the opponent. But what do you make of the other two in the draw? Arizona State as the two seed, Fairfield as the three.
Yeah, I think everybody kind of going into this wondered what the committee would do with Fairfield because we've talked about them before. They're on the guys just. It's just extremely high. It's really unusual to see a team play that kind of schedule. And for one, finish 37-3. I mean, the fact they got in a large bid from that league is really impressive. But just to have that RPI rating, but you kind of look beyond the RPI at ELO, which is something that Warren Nolan publishes. It's kind of like a power or a strength rating for your schedule. And according to ELO, Fairfield didn't play a team outside the quadrant four all season. So it kind of puts into perspective the schedule that they played. But, you know, you don't win 37 games on accident. So you've got to be able to play a little bit. Statistically, they're a solid club. I'll be fascinated to see how they match up against Arizona State. And, Frank, I think that this is a good regional draw for Texas because it doesn't have one of those teams that's got one of those first-round power arms or second-round arms or one of those guys that's just a stud dominant throwing pitcher on the mound. There's not one of these guys in this region, whereas you kind of look across the country, that Arizona region, for example, the three seed in that region has got one of those guys that could go in the first round. You're kind of sweating that a little bit. So I think it's a pretty good draw for Texas. We know that Arizona State's going to have talent. It's much more of an offensive club than it is a pitching team. Their pitching overall this season just hasn't really been that good. I think they finished fifth in the Pac-12 after UCLA swept them heading into the postseason. So I think this is a favorable draw for Texas, but they're going to have to play well. You know, they're probably going to have to play a little bit better than they did in Oklahoma City this past week. But I think everybody's kind of looking at this Fairfield team like, let's see what they can do, because nobody's really quite sure because of the schedule that they played, and it's just so unusual for that type of team to have that kind of a record in RPI rating.
Dustin, the number one seeded team, Arkansas, your thoughts about them and how good they are and how they play from game to game and been doing pretty well all season long. I thought they started to reach their crescendo in the middle of the season. I mean, that's pretty damn good. Now, you know, you want to play your best at the end, but they look like they're playing their best in the middle of the season.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I haven't seen it's been a while since I've seen a regular season more impressive when you look at what they did against their schedule, not only winning the SEC, but winning the SEC tournament as well. And they can do it all. Their best quality is what I think Texas' best quality is, but Arkansas is just a little bit more talented, is that they're remarkably consistent, and they can win games in a lot of different ways. They've got a lot of it factor about them. They've got some lights-out guys in the bullpen. They've got strong starting pitching. They could really swing the bat. They've got maybe the best defensive catcher in the country kind of anchoring that pitching staff. They're really, really good. It's one of the more impressive regular seasons that I've seen. When you just kind of look at the teams they beat and the schedule they played, and then to win the SEC tournament, knowing that it didn't matter what Arkansas did in the SEC tournament, they were going to be the number one overall seed, and to still go out and win that tournament says a lot about that team. I think they're clearly the favorite heading into this thing.
Yeah, well said. They didn't lose that SEC tournament over the weekend all season. Pretty impressive. And as we said earlier, the only, you know, the teams that have won the SEC regular season and tournament, two other teams have done it, LSU and Vanderbilt, and they both won the national title in 09 and 19, and that's where Arkansas is right now. Very balanced team. Talk about Texas coming out of the weekend. They went 2-2 at the Big 12 tournament, Dustin, and you just mentioned it. You know, it's kind of tough to get up for those tournaments when you've already won the regular season. You're going to lock up a top five seed, as Texas clearly had. But they didn't play their best baseball for sure, especially in the batter's box. I mean, they struck out almost 50 times. They only scored 12 runs in the four games. Is that a cause for alarm, or was that just a lack of focus on one weekend?
I think, you know, there's probably some slight concern. You know, whenever you strike out that many times in that setting, you got to kind of scratch your head a little bit, wonder what's going on. I think it was kind of the perfect storm for that sort of outcome to happen. You mentioned it's tough when you go in those events, knowing that the most important thing you've got to do is get your pitching on schedule for the postseason, and that you've already done all you need to do to be a national seed. So it's kind of hard to shake that at times, especially when you're playing those truly desperate teams that are kind of playing for their postseason lives because they have to win the tournament. And also, too, some of the pitching they faced up there was really, really good. I mean, Jackson Wolf is going to be a second or third round pick in the Major League Baseball draft. Jacob Waters, who they started at, you know, the reliever, was up to 99 miles an hour out of the bullpen. It has a really bright future. Wyatt Old is the MLB draft guy that threw really well for Oklahoma. So, Cale Davis is a guy that's got a really bright future, and those arms for Oklahoma State threw were pretty good. So, on one hand, there was some really, really good stuff that Texas saw on a consistent basis. On the other hand, I think that if there is an issue or a weakness, if you want to pick one with this team heading into the postseason, is that we have seen at times throughout the year where they can swing and miss way too much. And I kind of think that got back to them. They're just a little too passive over the weekend. They're kind of looking for walks. They're just taking a lot of pitches. They weren't really on that kind of on that front foot attacking kind of an offense that we've seen from them so much this season. So I think they'll get back to that this weekend. And I think that the pitching they saw in Oklahoma City is going to be way better than the pitching they see in the Austin Regional. So perhaps that's prepared them to play beyond the regional and get to a super regional down the road if you're looking to play like Florida or Miami coming out of that Gainesville regional. But I think the pitching they saw in Oklahoma City is going to be better than anything they see this weekend.
Interesting. And yeah, I mean, obviously the scouting reports West Virginia had on Texas pretty thorough, had just seen them over the weekend, and they ran into them twice up there in Oklahoma City and then Oak State as well in the elimination game. But Dustin, when you look at the three Big 12 teams, Texas, TCU, and Texas Tech, who will host regionals this weekend, which team, when you break down the regionals, would you be most concerned about getting out of the first weekend?
I'd say Texas Tech. You know, UCLA in that region is a really tough draw. UCLA was the consensus top five team in the preseason, and they started to play better of late. Then you look at North Carolina in that region as well, a team that, that has some talent coming out of the ACC. That to me, I look at TCU's region. I think they got a pretty manageable region. Oregon State and Dallas Baptist. We know Dallas Baptist is always going to be solid. They've got a really good offensive club. But I think that TCU can match them offensively, and they've got the better arms as well. But I'm looking at Texas Tech and UCLA. That's tough. They kind of play a different style. They're going to get into that park, and you know they're so good in terms of pitching and defense. Oftentimes, that style can kind of play there in terms of helping run prevention type things when the ball can kind of fly out of the yard on occasion. But if you've got really good pitching that can keep the ball from flying out of that yard, especially when the wind gets going, you've got a chance. So I'd say Texas Tech has its work cut out for them in that region.
Any chance, Dustin, that Texas plays with their rotation when you get a 20 and 28 Southern team on Friday and save time adding for game two, or you do not mess with what's working?
I think there's absolutely a chance that they kind of tweak some things. And personally, that's how I do it. And my main reason why is if Fairfield beats Arizona State in that game, Fairfield will have never seen anything like Ty Madden this season. Nothing like him. But Fairfield has seen guys like Pete Hansen and Tristan Stevens, and you know, if you even go down the list, Colby Kubicek. They've seen guys like that. They haven't seen 6'3" guys throwing 99 miles an hour with a plus slider that just kind of come at you that way. So I think it'll be fascinating to see what David Pierce and Sean Allen and those guys decide to go with. And plus with Southern as well, their mark offensively is like they get on the bases and they like to kind of create some havoc. They like to be really aggressive, sort of steal some bags, put the ball in play, maybe use some small ball, things like that. And I'd say that Tristan Stevens and Pete Hansen, they're better, I think, at holding on runners and kind of controlling the run game. The Ty Madden, just wants to get the ball and throw it at you as hard as he can, and sometimes he can fall asleep a little bit in terms of holding the runners. So, yeah, I think there's absolutely a possibility that they kind of look at those matchups and say, you know what, we've got a lot of confidence in these other guys that can get the job done, and then kind of looking ahead at potential matchups, maybe keep Madden for that second game.
Interesting. As always, Dustin, appreciate the perspective and good thoughts to chew on, and we'll certainly hear from David Pierce this week. Thanks, my friend.
Thanks, Dustin.
All right, guys. Have a good week.
All right, Dustin McComas. Interesting. Yeah, well, good argument, too. We'll see what David Pierce was thinking. Do you save time adding for a second game, not to overlook Southern, but he makes a good point. Maybe it's a better matchup against Texas Southern, to go with the fellow all-first-team Big 12 pitcher, Tristan Stevens, works quickly. Pitches to contact and very good at holding runners on base, which will be a challenge against Southern. And you mentioned Arkansas, Buck. You know, we talk about Ty Madden and how good he's been for the Longhorns this year. How about the ace for Arkansas? One of the reasons they're the number one overall seed and the favorite, Kevin Copps from Sugarland, the junior. How about his year? 10-0. 10-0 for the Razorbacks. An ERA of .81.
Oh.
.81. He's the ace of Arkansas. You got to beat him, and he hasn't lost a game all year, and he doesn't give up much. I mean, ridiculous. God. Giving up six earned runs in 66 innings of work this year for Arkansas. 10-0 with a .81.
You're behind the eight ball as soon as you get up there with him.
Yes. Yeah, almost like even if you're Texas in a series, you maybe save time add for game two. That dude is wicked. As Dustin said, they're like Texas, maybe just a little bit a notch above. And that's what everyone's chasing right now because Arkansas is the number one overall seed in this tournament. All right, we come back. We will continue these conversations, the good, the bad, and the ugly from the busy weekend. It's a Tuesday that feels like a Monday. Live, local, and digital here on the Horn. We'll have our salacious gossip and our blitz before the end of the hour as we roll on. It is B&E on the Horn app. Always streaming on your smart speaker and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Not only are fans out of control in the NBA playoffs, four incidents already in the first round of fan poor behavior, including a fan running onto the court during the Sixers-Wizards game last night or yesterday. Also because of you knuckleheads, you people, Buck. If you fly on a Southwest Airlines flight this summer, it'll be a dry flight. No drinks. No Bud Lightskis. Because people can't handle themselves these days.
I tell you, we just haven't been out.
I know.
We haven't been out and... You know, it's weird that people need, there's adjustments to be made. And when you spend almost 2 years indoors, where what it seems like to you is indoors, maybe even on your own property, going out not so often, and you're not around other people, there's a transition to be made there. I know people said, well, come on now, this, you know, we're not animals. Well, we're creatures of habit, and we've been taken away from our habits for almost 2 years. And so it does take some time. I mean, you know, I'm listening to this young tennis player, Naomi Osaka, talk about how she's now struggling with, she was talking for everybody last week, and now it all comes around full circle that she's had these problems for a long, long time, but she was trying to talk for others. You can't speak for other people. You don't know how other people feel. And what happened is she had a bunch of her people in tennis, male and female, come down on her saying, no, this is part of the deal. You have to speak, you know, you have to speak to the media. That's a part of what we do. But what happened to her, she started thinking, I can talk for everybody about mental health. This is my great opportunity. When she's having the real problem, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
She never said that she was having a problem last week. It was all of these athletes. And she was trying to speak for everybody. She's like, I know she's young, but you can't speak for everybody. You can't do that. You can't speak on everybody's mental health only to find out that she's the one who's struggling. I mean, really struggling with it, you know? And, you know, wish her well, and hopefully everything will work out for her and she can get back to tennis. But you just have to be careful when you think you're the talk for everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can't, you know, wait a minute, you don't talk for me. It's like when, you know, when LeBron and other people talk and people want, no, you're not speaking for me. I can speak for myself. You know what I'm saying? And people are going out to these basketball games. Well, they don't like the social nature of some of these basketball players. So now they think they have a place that they got them in a place. Now I can throw a bottle at them. Now I can spit on the back of their heads. Well, no, you can't. You know, you can't act like an animal. You can't do that because you disagree with what they think about off the basketball court. That doesn't give you a reason to start flipping things at them. I mean, and we're trying to get back to where we're like normal people again, and we're struggling a little bit at that, you know?
Agreed on all counts. I mean,
and it takes some time.
It does. And on the, I got on a little Twitter flap with some people about Naomi Osaka. I hope she finds the piece she's looking for, because clearly she's struggling with you know, her own demons. And
yeah, and she wouldn't tell anybody last week,
right? But I'm not going to criticize the French Open for fining her $15,000 and holding her to the same standard they hold everybody, male and female.
It's part of the game.
It's part of the deal, and yeah. That's when you're in professional tennis or a professional sport. You know, you're going to talk to the media. It's just part of the deal. I know if you just want to go play tennis and be a tennis player, you can. But if you want to be on the professional tour and be a part of this event,
actually,
and try to and possibly win the prize money, then you need to participate. And you know, I hope she does find what she's seeking. But at the same time, you're right. Don't speak for others.
And if she's struggling mentally and doesn't come back to the game, she has to get well for herself first. That's the most important thing. But leave everybody else out of this. Don't drag me into it. Some of the guys said, what are you talking about? We have to do this. You know, this is a part of what we have to do. That's a part of us being professionals, is we have to talk to the media. We may not like it, but that's a part of what we do as a job. So when you start saying all these athletes, we'll back up a little bit, and then to find out you've been having these problems since you won your first event.
Yeah.
Go take care of yourself.
For sure. But again, don't criticize the French Open for having a policy, right? Don't criticize the tennis tour for needing to promote itself. And then
they're going to find you like they find everybody else.
And I took issue with certain folks in the media who actually backed her and criticized the French Open for their stance. When, come on, if LeBron James came out and said, I'm not talking in the NBA playoffs because I don't want to talk to the media anymore, he'd be ripped coast to coast for rightful reasons.
And he's ripped when he does.
I mean, if Phil Mickelson went to the
after he won
the U.S. Open in 2 weeks and says, you know what, I'm not going to talk to y'all the entire week, the tour would have, the U.S. Open would have a huge problem with that. It's just part of the deal. I mean, if you're a professional athlete, it comes with the promotion of your sport, the promotion of
and I don't know if she's pampered. Some will say she's pampered. I just say she's young, and she's
battling something for sure.
And she's battling something, but once again, speaking for others can get you in trouble. It really can.
Well, I mean, I don't want to say I'm glad she withdrew, but I think her withdrawing from the French Open was the right thing to do. Like, if she was actually going to try to play and try to win the tournament, she's won 3 Grand Slams. She's 23 years old. She's one of the new faces of tennis on the women's side, which can use all the promotion it can get. With you know, Serena Williams is still playing, but she's, you know, about to be done with her incredible career.
Mm-hmm.
They need new faces, and they need to promote the sport and be a part of that.
Well, then she better go get taken care of her mental health, because she's going to go through an awful lot if she wants to be a champion. If she's going to be a champion and be like Serena Williams or Venus Williams and go through some of the scrutiny that they had to go through, she better toughen up a little bit more, and she better take care of her mental health first before she worries about anybody else's. And I think that's what she's going to do, and I wish her well on it. She's
agreed.
She's really good.
Agreed. And the sport needs her, right?
I don't know if they need her.
I don't know if they need her.
Well, I mean, she needs them as much as they need her. She does.
Agreed with that. Agree with that. But they need new young stars that can help promote the sport and, you know, lead to television ratings, lead to fan interest, lead to ticket sales, and that leads to prize money. That's really how it's all built on. And I guess my criticism over the weekend was the media criticizing the French Open for having a policy that I think every sport has a policy, and you participate in that if you want to participate in the event. That's just the way that goes. And if you do have mental health issues, you need to deal with them, go deal with them by all means.
Yeah, don't try to play tennis or do some other things. Try to take care of that as quick as you can.
But I don't think you can make – I don't like when they make the media the bad guy or the French Open the bad guy because they have a basic policy. You know, Jordan Spieth coughed up the Colonial on Sunday, had an opportunity to win that thing. Jason Kokrak shot a 70. You know, Jordan shot 73. You know, Jordan Spieth had to speak on that afterwards and talk about it and talk about what's going on and say, man, I don't – when the club's going back, I don't know where it's going. I mean, that's what you do. I mean, by the way, the same media that are defending – Naomi Osaka would criticize the hell out of Jordan Spieth if he said, you know what, I'm not talking anymore. I'm not talking to you. You guys are part of this. That's just not, you can't go there. You really can't.
And she basically, obviously, she had some things going on way before this, way before she even made those statements. This all goes back to her first Grand Slam. I mean, that was a couple years ago, and she's been dealing with this ever since. And she just thinks that she can say, you know, she's trying to help other athletes, but You go take care of yourself first and then come back and tell everybody what you did and how you took care of yourself. And then you can maybe speak for them, but I just don't know. She just made it a general statement by athletes. And when she said last week, athletes, I'm thinking, uh-oh, better be careful. You're starting to talk for others here. And here it is that you, when it comes full circle, you've had this problem for a long, long time that you haven't taken care of.
Yeah.
Part of being young.
Part of it really is. Young or old. I mean, part of it for me is just don't vilify the media for doing their job, I guess would be my point. And yes, did some people in the media ask dumb questions? Do you have to answer the same questions over and over? I mean, and the fact that she did withdraw, she becomes less of a distraction, and hopefully she can get some of these panic attacks and issues under her own control. But again, I don't think people criticizing the French Open for their stance of saying, no, if you're going to be here, we're going to fine you $15,000 for not participating. I don't think that's a policy I think the sport needs to have and the event needs to have.
Yeah, I just think she wanted to try to jump out and be a leader. You know what I mean? And it's, you know, sometimes it's just not your time. It just didn't seem like the time when she was speaking for everybody at 23. Sorry, I'm not saying because you're young you can't speak for everybody, but I think she needed to have some more kind of experiences and all that stuff before she started speaking about other tennis players, other athletes. There have been a lot of athletes that have come to her support, but I know there's some within her own field have said, hey, this is just part of the deal. This is what they want you to do.
Yeah. Well said, as usual, and we'll continue that conversation. We'll do your blitz coming up. It's only as good as you make it, so make it good at 447-3776. Take your thoughts on those conversations. And, yes, I think there's Southwest and one other airline going dry because of fan behavior, you know, passenger behavior on airplanes. Let's get ourselves under control. You know what I'm saying? Fans.
Let us out. We're out.
Let us out of our cages.
That's what I'm saying. Seriously.
No.
Just getting out.
I mean, literally – two different airlines have had to ban alcohol sales on airplanes because their flight attendants are being, you know, harassed and you know, volatile passengers.
Creatures of habit, man. We've been in a crazy habit here for almost 2 years.
Summer's here. Be careful out there, folks. Be careful out there.
For sure, man.
Be smart and enjoy June, which is here. Coming back, it's Salacious Gossip and your Blitz as we roll forward live, local, and digital, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. First, it's Craig Way.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
All right, Salacious Gossip is brought to you by Bud Lights every single morning here ahead of your Blitz. It precedes your Blitz, and hope you had some good Bud Lights over the weekend and smartly, safely. I certainly did it, attended a wedding over the weekend, Buck. It's really getting back to normal. We had graduation parties one weekend and a wedding last on Saturday. down in the Woodlands. Let me just say it was a beautiful wedding for some friends of ours. We've known Brooke, the daughter that got married since she was born.
People with masks on or unmasked?
No mask.
No mask. I'm unmasked. You have to ask me to put one on now. I go up in the banks. I go everywhere now.
And the two, the couple that got married, both were athletes at TCU. She was a golfer and he was a football player, so I got to meet a bunch of current and former TCU football players. And
did they say they were going to beat Texas again in football?
They plan on beating Texas.
Again?
That's kind of their deal.
That's their deal.
Yeah, they don't fear Texas, that's for sure.
Mm.
So congratulations to Nate and Brooke, and good luck with the nuptials, with a beautiful wedding. So yeah, things getting back to normal. Hope you had a good weekend and enjoyed the Memorial Day and paid respect to the fallen for sure, but did it with a nice cold Bud Light. Hey, Buck, salacious gossip. You know there's a German word that actually means, in its definition, a face in need of a slap? A face in need of a slap. The German word is backpfeifen gutenst. Backpfeifen gutenst.
Suckers nuskens?
Backpfeifen gutenst. Sist. But that's pretty cool. So face in need of a slap. Anybody you can think of? Me, Zay, somebody that needs a face in need of a slap.
Well, I know a couple. I saw them on the way down to fish camp and back. The ones in the passing lane going 55 at an 85, and
come on,
with their hand up, with their cell phone in their hand,
texting,
talking to grandma or whoever the hell you're talking to. Get out, pull
over. You mean
over.
The left lane plotters?
Oh my goodness!
Can we move
over?
With
the Texas cheaters, and those dudes are up on your. You talking about on your bumper? You talking about bumping and grinding NASCAR style? You need to move over. It is. That's scary.
Back fife and goose since
right? Isn't it still a law that you can't talk on your phone while you're driving? Is that a law here?
Hands free.
You sure?
That's a law.
I couldn't tell.
No, a lot of texting. Yeah, the left lane plotters are the worst, man.
Wow.
Yeah. 290 to Houston down to the Woodlands. And a lot of that going on.
Man.
But, you know, be patient. And I will say, you know, buck on to Houston because that the 99 tollway they built, you know, Houston now has three tollways. Or like three loops. And the
this
new
is a monster.
Oh, but you know that's where my wife's family grew up in the Woodlands. So we used to drive the Woodlands all the time. A 3-hour drive is now 2 hours and 10 minutes because of the 99 tollway to cut over to the Woodlands off of 290. It's pretty remarkable. So props to them. Also, Buck, did you know that the Big Mac, you know the McDonald's hamburger?
Yes.
It's not its original name. The original Big Mac was originally called the Aristocrat.
Ooh.
That did not go over well. They changed that to the Blue Ribbon Burger, which also was a failure. And then they just changed it to the Big Mac.
The Big Mac, huh?
Last time you had a Big Mac.
Long time ago. I only do fries at that place. And Filet-O-Fish sandwich, the best cod in the world.
You don't get the Mac rib?
I have not gone into the Mac rib. No. Never.
No.
I'm not going to eat that.
Come on, man.
Cardboard with barbecue sauce on it? No. But I'll slam some of those French fries and some of that codfish.
Gesundheit, E. Hogan, somebody said. No, I can't pronounce the word, but it's face in need of a slap. This guy says Russell Westbrook, face in need of... Come on, man. Why's Russ getting the hate? Russ getting the hate out there for people.
Because he's nuts? What are you talking about?
I can't pronounce the word, man. It's, it's one of those tough German words. You're German. No, and actually, we found out you're no German.
I still have some German, yes.
Come on, you did your 23andMe.
I'm more French, yes.
You're very French. You're very Irish. You're more Irish than you are German.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but you're not as European as you once thought you were.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
Know what I'm saying? All right, so, Buck, we have this in our salacious gossip. You buying this? Julio Jones traded this week? Think so? Reports that he could get the Falcons could maybe just fetch a second-round pick. They're trying to get a first. They put it out that maybe they could, but you think they get more than a second-round pick for Julio Jones if they trade him this week now that June 1 is here?
No, only a second-round pick. They're putting it out that they have an offer for a first. No, they don't. It's
no,
a
they
second.
Because you got to take the contract. And you got to take the salary cap hit. But you know who can afford to take the salary cap hit?
New England
Patriots.
Yes.
Do they make the move, and could that be a Randy Moss-type move? Remember Randy Moss? Traded to the New England Patriots in his early 30s and had his best year. Now, he had a guy named Tom Brady throwing him the football, so that helped. But
he's got bad feet. Look out for big man with bad feet.
He missed one
game.
He played 9 games a year ago, 9 of 16. But the year before, he played 15. The year before that, he played 16.
Not quite as fast as Randy Moss, either.
No. Well, who is?
No, nobody at that time.
Tyreek Hill?
Probably at that time, no one.
All right. Well, we'll see where that goes, because it is June 1 now. That means after June 1 salary cap hits are lesser. So you could see a guy like Julio Jones traded. Aaron Rodgers, his cap hit comes down pretty significantly. But the Packers, by the way, Buck, according to a report on theathletic.com over the weekend, calling his bluff.
Yeah, they are. He's going to be back with them.
They're like you. They do not believe he will sit out the year and not play. They might whine and complain.
Right.
Because some people are saying Aaron Rodgers needs the face you could slap. Face in need of slapping.
For sure, man.
Not that we're advocating violence, but Aaron Rodgers is one that has been mentioned. Let's go to your Blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz, brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
Here we go. First Blitzer, you're up. Oh, I did not have to listen to that at Fish Camp on Friday. No, Tabo. What's up, Tabo?
Ese toro, y el blanco y el zeta. Ese toro, ceviche is the way to go, man.
Yeah, man.
Tacos Tuesday. Tacos de ceviche. Toro, so let me get this straight, man. So you took off to Gilligan's Island with a dude that sells female surgical tools? Did you guys play doctor, dude? Dude, I would sleep with one eye open, Toro.
Dude, we did not do that. We did not play leapfrog. We went fishing. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
You know, I have a good authority. Trey Young went to a New York City hot dog stand, had the gall to ask for ketchup on his hot dog. What a guy.
Who gets ketchup on a hot dog? You had mustard in your New York City.
That's all there is, just mustard. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Hello, gentlemen.
What's up?
What?
Any word about Texas softball going to the Women's National Invitational Tournament?
No. They're out. They lost in the Super Regional round to Oklahoma
question
State.
Question and answer period here?
But the Texas women's rowing team didn't win the natty. They rode their way to the natty, another natty for Texas this year.
Turn on your computer. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, man, I went fishing with Bucky. He came up with a goldfish in a bowl. I said, Bucky, get in that water and teach him sharp how to kick.
Thank you. Thank you there, big dog. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
This is Roberto Kraft, Mr. Patriot. I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country. All hail, Nathan Hale.
All hail Nathan Hale. There you go. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Okay.
What's up?
You like that sweet picture I sent you, Earl, when I was in H-Town this weekend?
H-Town. Oh, thank you for that picture, little Kev. Appreciate that.
Oh! Blitzers have your phone number? Sending you texts and things?
When I'm at fish camp.
Sleeping for 14 hours?
Yeah, baby. I got that in.
Coming back, we mentioned possible trades this week. We'll mention some other names that could be on the move now that June 1 is here. Also, did you hear the Patrick Mahomes quote, what Patrick Mahomes told the Bleacher Report? This is kind of a Babe Ruth. It might be the mother of all quotes.
I like that.
From
I like
Patrick Mahomes.
Go for it.
Let you know what Patrick Mahomes says. He's got lofty expectations for the 2021 football season.
You and Tom Brady.
Yeah. Well, Tom Brady hasn't said it out loud yet.
No, but he's thinking it.
We'll get to that coming back. It's a Tuesday. Feels like a Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Glad you're with us. The good, the bad, and the ugly from the busy weekend. Longhorns are the number two national seed in the baseball field of 64. We'll continue that conversation. NFL, NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball, all things we're kicking around with you on a good, bad, and ugly Tuesday. Live, local, and digital streaming on your Horn app, always on your smart speaker, and always at hornfm.com.